Good morning. It is Faith Foundations time all around the world, from the top to the bottom, all the way around the middle. My name is Greg Stevens, and I am pinch hitting today for the great one, Pastor Harry Copeland Pearson's, and it is an honor and a privilege to stand behind this desk in this pulpit and speak the word to you today. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Let's just do something right now, because I need to do this for me too. Just shake off everything that you came in here with. Just leave it. Put an usher at the door and tell people to shake it off and don't bring it in here with you. You do it at home. Whatever, it'll wait, right? Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Our faith is in your word, sir. We ask you to wash us in the word today. Reveal yourself to us in a new and special way that we will become more like you and be the image of you to the world around us. We have faith to hear today, ears to hear today, hearts to receive today. We give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Here we go. Last week, I talked to you about being holy in a very unholy world. I don't know if you've noticed the world or not. It's not real holy. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And that to do this, you're required to use your faith where this is concerned. You have to use your faith in that you are holy. Amen. And that you are righteous, because everything around you will tell you you're not, including your image in the mirror when you get up. Right?
Yes.
The mirror will tell you if your hair is out of place or what needs to be fixed or what needs to be done, but it will do nothing about it for you. Right? So, the reason I say that you're required to use your faith where this is concerned is because there is a great religious trap that we all need to avoid. You know what it is? The trap is, I need to be better or do better to be holy. If I could just be better, if I could just do better. And that's the trap. I call it the hamster wheel. Once you're in the wheel, you know, you'd think that hamster would learn after year after year after year of running on that wheel. Well, we do that at the gym, don't we? Well, never mind. Okay. See, it's this. I need to be better. I need to do better to be holy. It's actually the other way around. Because I am holy, I will be better. Because I am holy, I will do better. That's a whole different thing. And you got to renew your mind to that thing. You cannot successfully live the Christian life until you first know who you are in Christ. That's what the New Testament is all about, to show you this new and better covenant established on better promises and who you are and how you access it. Matter of fact, let's just jump in at first thing right here. And let me play a clip for you from Brother Copeland, and then we'll come back and talk about this. Watch this.
Lack of understanding. This is the first hindrance to faith. Lack of understanding of the new creation. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now notice, I want you to get this. I'm talking about being a new creature. Say, I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
I have the faith of God.
I have the faith of God.
In my spirit being right now.
In my spirit being right now.
Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You have the same measure of faith as the Apostle Peter, the Apostle John, the Apostle Paul. Why? Now listen to what I'm about to say. Because he dwells in you, it dwells in you.
Amen.
Can you see it? See, God's no respecter of persons. Jesus is dwelling on the inside of you by His Spirit right now. Amen. And if He's in there, everything is in there that comes from heaven. Faith is in there. Forgiveness is in there. The love of God has been shed abroad in your faith, in your spirit, by the Holy Spirit. Whoa. I'll tell you, this is big stuff. Amen. I want you to know there is born into you and into me and every one of you watching out there, there is born into you greatness.
Yes. Glory.
Christ within you. Your hope of glory.
Amen.
Glory to God.
There you go.
Amen.
I don't know that sometimes we have to be reminded of what's in us and what happened when He came inside you. See, I mentioned it last week. You have been, there's a holy place now in you. This is the Holy Bible. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You have a holy place inside of you. Inside you. Let me show you Philippians chapter 3. I read it to you last week. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. And then we'll go to Romans 6 in a moment. Here it is. You ready? And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law. If you're self-righteous, it comes from the legalism. Okay? But that which is through faith. This is why I said you have to use your faith on this. That which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Where's it from? From God by faith. Amen. See it? Now I'm using my faith again in what's from Him. It's from Him, it's in me, but I have to use my faith that it's in me. Because nobody's going to remind me. Your supervisor's not going to remind you, by the way, you are redeemed and a new creation and the righteousness of God. They're not going to remind you of that. All right? Okay. Righteousness, which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. The power of His resurrection. The power of His blood is what redeemed me and brought me into this holy place. And now it's the power of His resurrection combined with that name that I speak resurrection life to situations in my life. I speak resurrection life to symptoms in my body. I speak resurrection life to my family, to my job. Come on. Amen. And you do it by faith. All right? I went over that last week. Growing up as a young boy and then later as a young adult, I was raised holiness. And we were Pentecostal holiness. PH, Pentecostal holiness. I thought PH stood for the women's hair piled high. I'm going to be honest with you. I disliked holiness because I saw people explain it to me that really didn't understand it themselves. All right. It was more about what God was against than what God was for. Okay. And it painted a very big different picture for me of who the Father was. I didn't trust the Father. I don't know that I really liked Him. I certainly didn't love Him. Isn't that crazy that I grew up in a church all my life and I grew up not loving my Heavenly Father because He was not loving to me? Sure. My God, somebody. Listen, they were good people. They're in heaven, those people today, having a wake-up moment of how loving and how good He is. Amen. See, here's the thing. In the time frame that I was a young man, God did not like the Christian music I liked. I'm not talking about world music. I'm not talking about secular music. He didn't like the Christian music I liked. God didn't. He didn't approve of it. See, I was a young guy. I don't know. I was not early teens. I don't know. I can't remember the dates of the Jesus movement, but I was young. All right. Maybe preteen. And God didn't like the second chapter of Acts. Or Chuck Gerrard or Keith Green, because they're not anointed. This is not anointed. Unless it's harmonies and Southern gospel, it's not anointed. Second chapter of Acts, Greg, you need to stop listening to that. You go to hell listening to that stuff. They brought rock music beat into the church.
Oh my
goodness. No, I'm serious, guys. This is what I was taught. Anybody else? Was anybody else in that? Thank you. There's some other hands in this room. So you can't be ministered to by that music. Yet, second chapter of Acts, Chuck Gerard, Keith Green were ministering to me and my friends in a very profound way. Yet I'm told God doesn't like them. Don't shout me down because I'm doing well. I finally, listen, as an adult, when I was a pastor is when I learned what holiness truly is. Romans chapter 6, guys. Romans chapter 6, verse 20. Holiness is not me trying to do good or be good. Holiness is not my willpower. Holiness is not condemnation. Holiness is not works of Greg's flesh. Holiness is not behavior modification. You can do that for a little while, but not long term. So let me show you what it is. It is a byproduct of my relationship with Jesus. That's pretty simple, isn't it? It's a byproduct of my relationship. This is why I'm required to get more knowledge and grow in my relationship. Can you see that? All right, you there? Verse 20. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to it. They're not up. There we go. Okay, let's keep going. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now having been set free from sin, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness. There it is. There's the definition of it. I'm set free from sin. Now I have fruit for holiness. Listen. And having and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me read you the Passion translation of this. You ready? Yeah. For when you were bound as servants to sin, you lived your lives free from any obligation to righteousness. So any good things I did when I was an unbeliever did not count as righteousness for me. Right. See that? Okay, look. So tell me, what benefit ensued from doing those things that now you're ashamed of? We were ashamed of some things we did in the past. It left you with nothing but a legacy of shame and death. But now, as God's loving servants, you live in joyous freedom from the power, you live in freedom from the power of sin. Listen to this. So consider the benefits you now enjoy. You are brought deeper into the experience, listen to this, of true holiness that ends with eternal life. For sin's meager wages is death, but God's lavish gift is eternal life, found in your union with our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. Holiness is a byproduct of my relationship with Jesus. And as my relationship with Jesus grows, I become more holy. And in the world, people see it. When I was saved, when I was unsaved, I could do good things. Yes? But they're not righteous things. My good works can't outdo my bad nature. Right? See, a lost man can reap a temporal harvest by doing good things. Temporal harvest here. But by doing good things, it's not an eternal harvest for a lost man. Now that I'm saved, the things I sowed in the past, they're not appealing to me. Okay? If I would have stayed on the path I was on, it would end in death. My nature was a slave to sin, but now my new nature frees me from that. Now every good thing that I do counts as righteousness. Woo. Let me help you with something. Dogs bark. It's what they do. Sinners sin. It's what they do. It's their nature. But see, my nature changed. As I acknowledge him, looking at him, everything grows. My nature changes. It means I don't have to do that act anymore. I don't have to be that guy anymore. It means it's not being held against me like righteous works were not counted for me. Do you understand? Righteous works weren't counted for me. Now they are. And when a Christian misses it and falls, it's not counted against them. Okay? You have your fruit now. Now, here's what happens. The Holy Spirit will now convict you, not condemn you, convict you. Get this straight, because you're not acting righteous. And that's why you got John 1:9. You get it straight. Okay? I've been made righteous and truly holy by the blood of Jesus. That is a fact, and I have to use my faith towards that, because the world won't reinforce it. Unbelievers can do good things, and believers can do bad things. Have you experienced that? See, the root of Christ is in me, so holiness is a fruit of the root that's in me. Because it changes from the inside out. Jesus talked about this with the Frankensteins, the Pharisees. He said, you guys will wash the outside of the cup, and the inside of the cup's filthy. See, God always works from the inside out. My faith is what makes me acceptable before God. Didn't Jesus say on more than one occasion, your faith has made you whole?
Yes.
See, my faith is what made me acceptable. You don't need guilt, honey. You don't need guilt to live for God. At all. I saw an example of this. I want to show you something. And it was really great. I'm borrowing it today, this example that I saw. So we go into the market, and this is sitting right there on the shelf next to this. Which one am I going to buy? How many of you want this one? How many of you want this one? Why do you want this one? Because you don't know what I got in my old sack here, right? This old bag. I don't know what he's got in that bag. I didn't even spell it right. Somebody told me a while ago it was redneck cookies. I went, really? Even if this package was empty, even if the package was empty, looking at the package, how many of you want some milk and stuff right now? Look, hands all over the room. Don't go to the fridge yet. Come back. Even if the package was empty, you knew what was in it. Right? I mean, it's double stuff. Come on. It's Jesus. I've got a son that takes two double stuffs and stick them together, and they're quad stuff. Even if the package is empty, you know what's in there. You know what it represents. Right? I grew up with this image of holiness. Come on now. Nobody wanted that. This one. Give me this one. But see, it's what's inside that makes this package is nothing. It's what's in here. It's what's inside. Let me help you with something. The world does not know God. Even if they think they do, they don't. They don't think like him. They don't know Jesus. Let me help you with something. They know you.
Amen.
Amen.
So what's in you? Is the double stuff in you? Then you need to let the double stuff out. Kick it to the curb. I did. All right? So you don't need guilt to live for God. Go to 1 John chapter 3, please. 1 John chapter 3. This is what letting your light shine is. Even an empty package makes you hungry for Oreos. Because you know what's in it. You ready? Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in himself purifies himself just as he is pure. Listen to this. My faith, my hope is when I see him, I'm going to be like him, because every single day I'm changing from that bag to that. You with me?
Yes.
Let me read this. You got to see him as he is. Let me show you the Passion translation of that verse, all right? I'll just read it to you, still show it to you. Look with wonder at the depth of the Father's marvelous love. Look at his love, because that's who he is. He's love. He's not melancholy. We've got too many melancholy Christians running around. Head like a melon and face like a collie. The Father's marvelous love that he has lavished on us. He has called us and made us his very own beloved children. You're his very own beloved child. My God. The reason the world doesn't recognize who we are is they didn't recognize him. Beloved, we are God's children right now. However, it's not yet apparent what we will become. But we do know that when it is finally made visible, we will be just like him. For we will see him as he truly is, and all who focus their hope on him will always be purifying themselves, Jesus, just as Jesus is pure. See, they were representing Jesus to me as a young man that he did not like my Christian music. Because it's not anointed. That's the way they represented him. Guess what? When I was a little older, see ya, I'm not gonna be ya. I left. I said, if I ever darken the door again, from the inside out, I have a desire to be holy, to be different. Not different the way religion teaches different. I'm different in the way that I look at him and know him. I realize, here's this, here's the main thing. You don't think like the world does. I don't, listen to this, let me help you with something. This will help you as Thanksgiving rolls around. Now, especially now, those of you that are KCBC students, let me help you with something. You don't even think like many of your family members do now. No, you hear what I just said to you. They're still your family. They're your DNA. They love you. You love them. But you don't think like they do. They don't think like you do. You have to come to that realization. See, my spirit is different now. There is a holy place in here. Titus 3, chapter 2, 3, 4, and 5 tells me that my spirit, you don't have to turn to it. Titus chapter 3 tells me my spirit is renewed. In Romans chapter 12, it tells me my soul is being renewed. And in Romans chapter 8, it tells me that my body will be renewed. You have to understand this. My spirit is born again, a new creation, not corruptible, sealed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. The archangel told Mary, his name is Emmanuel, God with us. That's a shift that you have to catch up with. God with us, not God mad at us. Not God with me if he's not too busy with somebody else. Not God with me as long as I do everything right. Because the minute I do something wrong, he's going to leave. No, he won't. He'll never leave. Never. Or never forsake me. I have proof of that in my own life. I walked away from this thing. It's veterans time, right? I walked away from this thing. And I'm in the Air Force and I'm trying to shoot expert. I get one shot at it because we don't shoot a lot of guns. I'm just saying. We use our putter and nine iron a lot. Yep. Just saying. You know, the Marine Corps, you have your URA thing, right? And the Army has its thing, right? What's that? UA, yeah. We're just like, right on, you know. that's kind of what we do. And so I'm looking at the target. I have my M16. I'm laying on the ground. My dog tags around my neck said no religion on them. Because they asked me, what are you, Protestant, Catholic, Jewish? None. No, you got to be one. No, I'm nothing. I don't believe in that. That's the point I came to. I don't believe in this. And I'm laying there on the ground, looking down the range at this little bitty black target that looked like it was about that big that I have to shoot, the 10 circle, which I can't see. Right? And all I did was say, oh, God, help. Like that, in that attitude, God help. I can't even see the thing out there. The next thing that came out of my mouth laying on the ground as I spoke in tongues freaked me out. And I did shoot expert. Did I change my life and turn it around right then? No, I still kept doing what I was doing. But it freaked me out. How was that possible? To be a self-proclaimed, don't believe in God anymore. It's a bunch of hype. It's fake. Don't like it. Don't want it. To speaking in tongues on the firing range at the Air Force Base in basic training. How's that possible? Because he never left me. I left him, but he never left me. And all he did was look for one little spot to give me a little love bump. My God, somebody. That's not possible. I know, but it happened. There's a holy place that was within me. In a recreated spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says this. Verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body, there all three of them are, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am now the temple of his presence. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 tells me that among other places, a lot of verses that tell me that. Let me show you how the old covenant was fulfilled today. Can I show you that?
Sure.
Exodus chapter 25. Do you guys have the graphic of the tabernacle back there? If you do, I need to put that up. Exodus chapter 25. And let them make me a sanctuary. See, you're going to make the sanctuary, right? Under the first covenant, you make the sanctuary. Okay. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. He wants to dwell among us. According to all that I will show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so shall you make it. Now, okay, imagine with me then, if you will, all right? We don't have it. Okay, big rectangle of the tabernacle. This outer place out here is the outer court. And then there's an inner court, and then there's this holy place, and a rectangle inside that. Can you picture this, guys? I'm sorry, I thought we had it. Can you picture this? Inside of that is a curtain in there where the ark was, the most holy place. So that holy place is divided off into the most holy place and the holy place. I don't know. Is this making sense?
Yes.
Can you picture it in your mind? Okay. God dwelled in this most holy place. Okay, I'm going to use some volunteers. Let's do it this way. If you would, sir, and if you would, sir, and then I need a man down here, please. Here is the outer court. You're out there. Inner court, and you'll be the holy place right here. Okay? And then this is this desk here, the Ark of the Covenant, the most holy place. There is a curtain right here. Okay? So, outer court. I don't know what happened to the graphic. I apologize, people. We'll get it. Outer court, the inner court, the holy place with a curtain dividing us. This is the way it was. Now, when Jesus came, the veil of the temple was rent in two. Okay, now let's think about spirit, soul, and body. My spirit, I'm sorry. Oh, there it is. Thank you, gentlemen. Here it is. Here it is. Thank you. Let me get rid of the old cookie bag again. Outer court. Here's the inner court with the altar and the bronze laver, the holy place, and the most holy place with the veil. When he died, the veil, when he said it's finished, the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom. You remember that? So let me tell you what happened now. God has created this. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. This has been created in you. This is your body. This is your soul. This yellow part is your mind, your will, and your emotions. This is your recreated spirit with the veil gone. So let me help you with something. This is your human spirit and God's Holy Spirit residing together inside you. This is how you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. This is your flesh. This is your soul. This is your spirit. This is sealed by the Holy Ghost. This is your recreated spirit and His Holy Spirit. The veil of separation is gone. And this resides in you now. This resides inside of your soul, and it resides inside of your body. Now do you understand it? You have a holy place. When Greg got saved at 13, long before he turned his back on God, that was made and was not undone. This part was winning the war, and this part. I was being led. This was being led by here with me. And the moment I said that one day on the firing range, God help me, that broke through. Because this is the true reality of who I am. You see that? That's who you are. You are holy. Now you have to operate in that by faith.
Yes.
When you do, this will begin to change this out here. It'll get out to here. See, we were trying to live for God from out here. That's just frustration. That's that cookie bag rather than this cookie bag. I could put, you understand? Let me grab this back again. Let me go get the flesh again. Let me get the religion. Let me get religion again. I could pour these in here, but you would still want this over this. Right? If these were in here and this was empty, you'd still go to this bag over this. The world doesn't know God. They can't know Him, but they know you. So what they need to see is what truth and labeling instead of this.
Amen.
Let's get rid of the religious bag. All right, you good? Does that slide help you? As I mentioned before, we are the temple. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 says this. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? The Spirit of God dwells in you.
Amen.
My God. Verse 17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. His spirit and your spirit inside you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians 6 says this. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. He is in you now.
Amen.
Whether you realize it, feel like it or not, He's there.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. You're growing. Your temple is growing by your knowledge of Him. Can you see that in that verse? Is it behind me? No, the picture is. Okay, good. In whom you're also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. The dwelling place of God in the Spirit. In your spirit is the dwelling place. For many of you are led by the Spirit of God. These are the sons of God. When I'm led by what's on the inside, the double stuff, I won't look like that bag. I'll begin to look appealing. The world will see you and say, man, I want that. Jesus. So once again, the outer court is my body. The inner court is my soul, my mind, my will and emotions. The holy place is the most holy place, is where I'm connected. That veil of separation has been ripped down. When Jesus said it is finished, He meant it. Now that's where my recreated human spirit and His divine Holy Spirit work together. They live together. Can you see that?
Yes.
You are that tabernacle temple now. My God. And once I realize that's me now, everything changes. See, no one really knows what happened in here. One person was allowed in there once a year, right? There's a lot of stuff happening out here that people can see. Do you understand in his natural life on the earth, Jesus was never allowed in here because he's not a Levite. See, it had to be by birth and by training and by everything else to get you in there. And it's still the same way today. It's by birth. But now it's by the new birth. See, every human has a holy place. They don't have a holy place. They have a spirit. And when they become born again, he recreates that spirit into a holy place. Now, it may be small, but it will grow in the knowledge of him. And as it grows in the knowledge of him, the definition of holiness, we don't know what we will be, but we know this. When we see him, we'll be like him. We're growing into his very own image. Not by working hard at it. By faith, believing in him, and it begins to happen from the inside out. He works. He always works to that. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So he's going to speak to your spirit man, not to your flesh man. And so when he speaks to your spirit, he'll speak to you from your destined place. From your destined place. He called Gideon a mighty man of valor while Gideon was hiding. Think about that for a second. Gideon is hiding and he says, mighty man of valor. Really? Lord, you might want to look again. No, he's speaking to him in his spirit man from his destined place. This is where you're going to be. Some of you, he's asking you to do something that sounds so crazy because he's talking to you from your destined place, not from where you're at right now. He's talking to you right now, but he's talking to you from where you're going to be, saying, come up here, come up to this place. And you will, and you are, and you do it by faith. I'm doing this every day by faith. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I had this holy place with no veil of separation between him and me anymore inside me right now.
Right now, glory to God.
I hear his voice. Come on. And as you do that, as you renew your mind to this, is how you grow. Woo! This is why, let me just, I put this off twice. And I know now it came back the third time not to put it off again. Because I'm listening from here. This is where marriage and our identity as who we are as people and as human beings is so vitally important for us to get an understanding and us to relate this to the world. One of the ways that a human being is like God is we have been given the ability to create another eternal spirit into the earth. That was one of the assignments, be fruitful and multiply. God gave a man and a woman. You understand they were one with Adam, and then he caused Adam to go asleep, cut covenant with Adam, right? Removed the female part from Adam and made another person, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, and made parts for each one of them to be able to come together as one and make another eternal spirit to come into the earth. That's heavy. A man and a woman coming together in covenant can make another eternal spirit come into this planet. This is a way that we're like him. My God. This is why. Not because I'm not coming against the people. I'm not coming against the people. This is why this stuff about changing who you are and identifying who you are and marriage between same sex and abortion is such a bad thing because it goes against the very thing God gave to humanity to be able to bring another eternal being onto the planet. And then when you bring that eternal being onto the planet, you train them to know him where they came from. Not paper sack holiness. Right? I mean, makeup was a sin. Dress length was a sin. Music was a sin. I mean, I'm telling you, the reason I didn't want any more, because I was, as a young person, the Jesus movement had hit. I said this again, but I want you to hear it again. Chuck Girard was not anointed. Second chapter of Acts, we're not anointed. Phil Keggy. Keith Green. I loved Keith Green. Keith Green, Gene, ministered to me. But my church told me, don't you listen to that. God doesn't like that. Well, guess what? When I got old enough, I didn't like God. Why? Because the good stuff inside was not being portrayed. It was that bag. This wedding ring Michelle bought me would have been worldly. I know. Because it had to be a single gold band. Your hair had to be a certain thing. I remember him preaching about hair. One day, if your hair is too long, there's sin in your life. Get it cut today. I remember. You remember it, Gene? And that's what they were preaching. Hair's too long. And I looked and we had a picture of Jesus on the wall. And I'm like, and one day I had had enough. One day I had had enough of it. And I said, you know, the dude in the picture here has got long hair and a beard. Dude wears sandals. I'm talking about the 70s now, Gene. Dude wears sandals. Late 60s, early 70s. Came in with a dress on. I got sent out of Sunday school. Gene, they sent me out. They went and got my mom. Wanted to cast the devil out of me. They didn't represent Jesus for what's inside of him. And they were good people. I love them. They were great people. They're in heaven. I think. No, they are. They're born again. But guys, the world doesn't know him. They only know you. They only know you. And you need to become attractive. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 20. 2 Corinthians 1, 20. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. All of the promises of God. I run into this with young folks all the time. Can somebody give me, is that a countdown to the normal time or is that a countdown extended time? You just let me know. All the promises of God in him are to the are yes and amen. If you're standing on a promise, like he who finds a wife finds a good thing, that's a promise. And so you go to the father and say, I met this girl. I love her so much. I love her. And she's absolutely wrong for you. I love her. And I asked God and he said, yes, of course he's going to say yes. It's a promise. That's to Studio B. Okay. Thank you. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. The one that's anointed you and established you is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. He gave you the Spirit as a guarantee. That's what happened to me that day on the range. The Holy Spirit, I said one little thing about God, and he popped through. He's the guarantee. How many of you are filled with the Holy Ghost? The fact that you can speak in tongues tells me you have a holy place within you. I just don't feel very safe today. Well, pray in the Spirit and prove it to yourself. 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. Incorruptible. I'm born again. The seed in me is incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. My God. It's the Holy Spirit that's leading me. My God. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 24. Get anything out of this today? You doing all right? Who himself bore our sins in his own body, bore my sins in his body. See it? That we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You claim that all the time over yourself, that you're healed, yes? Well, then that also tells me that I've died to sins. I live to righteousness because he took that sickness, that sin of sickness. He took it in his body. That's almost a little double dance time. I'm dead to sin and I live to righteousness. That is a reality. And you have to live in that reality by faith. In the knowledge of him. That is my confession as I look to him in faith, knowing his Spirit is changing me from glory to glory, even into his image. That has to become one of my confessions, one of my realities. I am dead to sin. I am alive to righteousness, and I am being transformed from glory to glory, even into his image. I don't know what I'm going to look like, but I do know I'm going to have some double stuff in me because I already got it out. It's already in me and it's already coming out. I don't know what I'm going to look like, but I know this. I got my faith in this, that I'm transforming every single day and I'm becoming more and more like him. I'm more and more attractive than I was yesterday. See, that's how you become the revival, Gene. That's how you become the one. So when he appears, I know this. I don't know what I'll look like in the future, but I know this. When he appears, I'm going to look like him. You got to do that by faith. Where are you going to be in 5 years? I don't know, but I know this. When he appears, I'm going to look like him. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, one more. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, no veil, holy place, veil, no veil. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image.
Glory to God.
From glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is changing me. I have a holy place on the inside of me. He's changing me. Listen to this. Get this. Ready for this? Brace yourself. Here it is. Change is a supernatural process. And you need to embrace it by faith. I'm changing every single day. I don't know what I'm going to be, but I know this. When I see him,
glory to God,
I'll be like him.
Amen.
And his Spirit is doing it. Listen to this. Instead, you need to write this one down. This one came to me last week. Instead of trying harder, you should trust longer. Instead of trying harder, you should trust longer. The world does not see him or know him, but they see you and they know you. So I'm going to trust him longer. And know that his Spirit, I have a holy place on the inside of me with no veil. The blood of Jesus took me in. That was my ticket in. Now that I'm in, I use the name and I'm here and I'm walking this out by faith. And I don't know what I'm going to look like, but I do know this. When I see him, I'll be just like him. Amen. Glory to God. Somebody shout and praise him for it in Jesus' name. We'll be back with Pastor George in just a minute. Take a break.